You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Yeah, Wayne, let's have a Jordan and LeBron debate. What a morning for that. Good morning, LeBron. Great morning, Laker Nation. Welcome back. Thanks largely to 19 fourth quarter points from LeBron. The Lakers roared back from 21 down in the fourth to beat the Clippers 116-112 last night. LeBron outscored the Clippers in the fourth 19-16. Lakers outscored the Clippers 39-16 in the fourth in what was a Clippers home game, the last game they will ever play against the Lakers in the arena that they've shared now for 25 years. LeBron went crazy out in the fourth, and this is what he said about that after the game.
Just a zone that you can't really describe it. You wish you could stay in it forever, but obviously it checks out, you know, as the game ends. But, you know, during it, you don't feel anything. You just have a superpower, I feel.
Superpower. We had it for a while, didn't he? Okay, Keyshawn, so question is, was last night more about the Clippers collapse in the fourth quarter or LeBron just going crazy hot?
LeBron going crazy hot.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't a Clippers collapse. If you think about it, 20 seconds or so into the fourth quarter, they go up by 21.
21.
It was 19. At halftime, it was 14. A 14-point deficit at halftime, Skip, is not a big, as you know, that's not a big number. 19's not a big number when you're talking about the NBA. When you're talking about, because if you can hit threes, you close that gap. If you can get and ones, you close that gap. That thing went like this.
Yep.
I was sitting, eating, and I happened to turn to the right, and we were down by 19. Pick a little more. Turn to the right, we're down by 21. Turned again.
Well, did you even turn, or did you just quit watching?
No, I kind of, when we went by 21, I kind of said to myself, damn, I think we're getting ready to lose. And then all of a sudden, the next time I looked, I believe we was only down by like 11 or something like that.
Yep.
And then I'm
I
like,
know
oh.
That point.
Yep. And then all of a sudden it was 106-106. And then Rui boomed from the corner to three. We was up by three.
And then D'Lo hit another three.
And then D'Lo hit one on the other side of the court.
Yep.
And so I'm like, oh yeah, it's over now. And then we started playing defense.
Yeah.
All of a sudden LeBron gets the steal, the turnover.
Yep.
And you say to yourself, Skip, it's over.
Yep.
Now we rolling. So I think it was more about LeBron going crazy, them playing defense, opposed to the Clippers collapse.
Yep.
You're looking at the 21, or people looking at the 21-point deficit is saying it's a fold. But 21 points in the NBA, it's not a lot at the start of a quarter, man.
Yep.
It's really not. But, hey, what more can you say other than I told you so, Skip, that the Lakers were going to win this basketball game.
Well, you did, but I also told you I thought they were going to win this basketball game, even though they were weirdly 3.5-point dogs. It was a Clippers home game, so it was allegedly a Clippers sort of crowd. They should have had more season ticket holders in there. But LeBron shut that crowd up and down, right?
And it felt like to me, late in that game, he said to himself, not in my house.
Yeah.
This is not getting
I agree with that.
This is not getting ready to happen here. And when he hit the three at the top, he pulled the three at the top. I said, oh, okay, he's feeling it tonight.
Yeah.
And then he came back down again. He tried a three. It didn't go in. We missed that opportunity. But then D'Lo wound up hitting it. So then it was like, okay, we settled down. We're good now. But you could tell, for whatever reason, he didn't feel the need to want to lose to the Clippers last night.
Yeah.
He just didn't. And I know you probably got some old little trick back there in your little notes where you're going to come up with some excuse as to why and what, instead of just saying he was cooking the way that he was. I'm waiting for you now.
Well, I don't have any tricks. I can't make anything up. It either happened or it didn't. I don't fabricate. I just spit facts at you, and you usually have no comeback for me. So I'm trying to be nice to you today, and now you're daring me to run over you again.
Because I know.
You want me to run over
but
you?
But I know you got something.
Okay.
I know you got something. Oh, there was a turnover here. See, if he didn't do this, if he didn't make his free throw there, it's something. And I'm just waiting for it.
Well, I will say this. It did surprise me as I looked harder at what happened that over the last 4 minutes and 36 seconds, LeBron didn't score a single point. But to your point, I'm agreeing with your overall premise. I thought LeBron shot them right in the heart. I thought he said, this is it. It's going to be my turn, my house, not yours. It's your home game. It's my house.
Yeah, absolutely.
I own this house. And this year, your Lakers have owned the Clippers. Remember, when Ty Lue took over, they won 11 straight games against your Lakers in the Ty Lue regime. And I'm saying, well, they just own you. And all of a sudden this year, you have won 3 out of 4 games. Now, just for the record, just for the Clipper fans who might be watching us right now, even though they probably can't even stand to even think about what happened last night, they did not have Paul George. They did not have Big Zoo because he is their shot blocker. So it was a little more of a freeway to the rim.
Well, we beat them when they had them. So yeah. What's the difference?
You have. But last night was they're down 2 starters, just for the record. Yeah. You're also down 2 key players that you haven't had for most of the year in Jared Vanderbilt and Gabe Vincent. And if you ever get those two back, and I have no idea what their future holds, but if you could get those two back, you got a basketball squad.
Well, you may not want to insert them in the lineup now.
Yeah, but I mean, they could really help you if you could get healthy and make a run. All right, so here's the point. When LeBron goes crazy hot like that, he is not, as you know, he's a very streaky three-point shooter, and he's more prone to be a little colder than hotter. He's not prone to have these kind of hot streaks. But he's had them against the Clippers before, because last year in a home loss, it was their home game, but they lost 133 to 115. He hit 9 threes in that game. So he likes shooting threes against this team for whatever reason, because I do think he takes this rivalry pretty seriously. Yeah. And remember, Kawhi's the New Balance commercial where he had the king.
It's my house now.
Yeah, it's my house.
Is.
Yeah, I got next. This is me. Yeah.
In LA,
he owns LA. He's exiting off the freeway. It's his town now. It was pretty audacious on Kawhi's part to step out there like that in a commercial. And by the way, speaking of that, the weird part about this game was LeBron, he was talking about after the game about you're in the zone and then you exit the zone when the game ends. Well, he actually exited the zone with about 4 minutes left, because he did take his last 2 shots missed, and they would have just put the game out of reach. And all of a sudden, I look up, and the game swung completely back around, and Kawhi made 2 quick shots. James Harden made a layup, and all of a sudden, I'm looking up, and I'm saying, wait, the Clippers got a last-second shot to tie the game, or if they shoot a 3, to win the game. All right, so let's look at that last. I tweeted immediately, LeBron has to take Kawhi. And to his credit, what did he do?
LeBron took Kawhi.
Thank you very much. Because he's big enough and strong enough to keep Kawhi from just claw dunking on him. Oh, these are.
No, that's the step back. That's the one that he missed.
Okay, those are the 2 misses. All right, can we go to, please? Yeah, these are the 2 missed shots. Can we go to the last shot, Kawhi's last shot? I don't know what we're doing here. Here we go. All right, so Kawhi comes off the pick and he curls. And I think Kawhi got where he wanted to go. He likes that shot. And it wasn't like LeBron suffocated him. It wasn't like LeBron bothered the shot, because I don't think LeBron bothered that shot. Kawhi just gagged it.
Well,
like it came up way short.
Kawhi likes that shot, but he doesn't like to fall back from the shot. He's falling back from it opposed to going straight up. No, he's fading back, though. He doesn't want to fade back, by LeBron being there and putting his hand up made Kawhi fall back. He wanted to go straight up with it. He likes that spot. He likes to get to that spot, but he doesn't like to fade back.
No, he doesn't mind fading back.
No, that's his shot.
That is his shot.
No, not that one.
I've seen him make a thousand of those.
That spot is his spot.
Okay,
but fading back like that, he doesn't like to.
No, he
give LeBron credit for playing defense, man, and making him fade back.
He did the best he could do. Probably a little gassed at that point, and Kawhi left it woefully short, which he does not do.
Because he's
usually pretty good.
Back.
Oh, stop it.
There's no stopping. He's falling
back. He's as good
back.
A fall-away mid-range jump shooter as I've ever seen.
He wants to go straight up with a mid-range.
He lives on that. He lives on it. And Kawhi did wring his hands like somehow LeBron hit his hand or something. There's no foul on play. LeBron didn't get there. There's nothing. Nothing. I think Kawhi was just upset with himself that he shot it so poorly, because we've seen, you know, when he shot the shot, I thought, oh, it's going to be one of those that bounces 17 times around the rim and falls.
I actually thought he was going to hit it off the side of the glass.
Did you?
Yeah, I didn't realize.
And not even get to the rim?
No, I thought he would bank it off the side of the glass.
But he was way too deep to bank it off the side of the glass.
But when he started going to the right, I said, oh, he finished to kiss it off the glass. But then he wind up falling back.
All right. So what happened until the last 4 minutes left when they lost most of the lead?
Mm-hmm.
It was classic James Harden-esque to me. This is where there was some Clippers collapse, even though I think LeBron, his onslaught was so devastating. They were folding. And Ty Lue said after the game, I can't remember one of my teams losing a 21-point lead in the fourth quarter. Well, you've never had James Harden at point guard. And I've told you from the start, I don't trust him. I just don't trust him. And he had two big turnovers with about 4 minutes and then 3.5 minutes left. If we could see his two turnovers.
But he
turnovers,
wasn't the only one turning the ball
over. No, but they had six. They had six in the fourth. Here's James Harden's turnovers. He just lost the ball out of bounds.
No, that was Kawhi. But LeBron, LeBron closing in on him, that was Kawhi.
Yeah, I don't
know. They lost that ball.
I'm not sure if that was if they gave it to James. I don't know.
They gave it. Oh, you mean if they credited him with the turnover?
I think they gave it to Harden. Okay, now let's see. Here's the bad one is on the out of bounds play. Let's see this, the next one. Okay, so he's trying to get the ball in bounds. James is, and he just throws it to the Lakers bench. Like it was the weirdest turnover. He's running out of time, and he finally just says, "I'll throw it to nobody. I'll throw it to the Lakers bench."
Whoever that was over there, though, fooled him by going. He thought he was going to stand there. He was trying to put it up over him. And then I can't even see who that is. They moved out of the way.
Yeah. But the point is,
Norman Powell moved.
I think it was Norman Powell. So in the end, the Clippers didn't completely fold because the Lakers were up 6 with a minute 12 left.
Yes.
And the Clippers still got a last second shot. So I give them credit for that. But to me, that collapse, that losing of the 21-point lead, I think that's what you'll see when push comes to shove in big playoff series. I don't think this team is made of the right stuff.
Not my problem.
It's not your problem. It could be your advantage, actually.
Yeah, I mean, look, they were without two of their players, okay? In that situation, when you're missing Paul George and Z to a point, but you're missing Paul George.
You are.
You got another offensive strength that's not on the floor. When you get him back, the Clippers are a different basketball team. I think we all could agree to that. So I'm not ready to just say all of a sudden they're getting ready to be the Doc Rivers Clippers when they get into the postseason. I'm not going to say that. When they've been in the postseason under Ty Lue, they've been banged up and hurt. They haven't been I guess I don't want to call them the three big guns that they have, but the two guns that they have in terms of PG and Kawhi, they haven't been together under Ty Lue in the postseason. They've been hurt.
Yeah.
So now if you can get them healthy, I still believe that they're going to be something to be reckoned with coming out of the West. I want my Lakers to be great, too. I want them to be smooth. I don't want the up and down. But the Clippers are a good basketball team. Man, I understand that you feel a certain way about James Harden. That turnover to Kawhi, he threw the ball exactly where he should have thrown it, but Kawhi took his eyes off of him because he was trying.
I'm not sure how that went to James, but whatever.
They accredited him. Yeah, they accredited him that, but he took his. Kawhi took his eyes off of it.
I'm with you on that one.
He took his eyes off of it, getting ready to go to the cup.
But the other one was shockingly bad, even though you say his teammate moved. But
his
teammate kind of
moved out of the way.
He knows he's going to get called for time.
Yeah.
And at the last second, he just like, I'll throw it over there.
Well, he threw it over there. As soon as he threw it, Powell moved.
Oh, okay. All right. So early in this game, it looked like, once again, your Lakers play little to no defense. They'll pick their spots. LeBron's great on the chase down still, but there'll be lots of possessions where they're just deadheaded. They're just lifeless, and they don't defend the three-point line. And then AD got dunked on. Anthony Davis got dunked on by Terrence Mann. If we could see this, this is in the first quarter. It's a left-handed dunk.
But he came over late, though.
Yeah, okay, but come on. Show me something.
Yeah, but he came over late. He's on his backside on
Terrence
the right
Mann
side.
Terrence Mann is 6 feet five.
But he's on the right side hip of him, and he dunks on the left. You can't. If he tries to block it,
get a hand up.
But if he tries to block it, he's going to foul him.
Get a hand up and foul him. Well, so would you rather foul him or get dunked on left-handed?
I'd rather just get
left-handed.
I need him in the game. I need him in the game. I don't need an and one.
Okay. Well,
I'm glad you're not coaching him.
Do you need a block? How about a block?
I don't want him.
You could have made him eat that. If you were into the game.
First of all, he's on his backside. He's already behind him.
He's not really.
He is.
No, he's right
there. It's a left-handed shooter. It's not. He didn't dunk with his right. He dunked with his left.
I know, but he's not left-handed.
He's on his backside, though. Skip. I don't want him fouling him.
I'm embarrassed for Anthony Davis on that.
No.
You like that?
I don't have a problem with the defense. I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with it. I don't want him to get into foul trouble trying to block a dunk in the first quarter when you're already behind him and chasing him.
I think you're just like Darvin Ham. You let him get away with near murder, right?
So okay. You want him to hack him, filing?
I want him
and
just
an and one. Why?
Okay, you're so much longer than him, and that made it 12-8. And it sent a message that you're going to let them do that to you.
It did not send a message.
Just at least get a hand on it. I'd much rather send him to the line. But
Skip.
All right, so They jack around. They don't do much. They get stagnant on offense. There's too much LeBron going one-on-one. And all of a sudden, he got hot. And the beauty, as you pointed out, of the fourth quarter, especially the early and middle part of the fourth quarter, is they followed him.
Yes.
They started playing on both sides of the ball. They started moving their feet on defense and moving their bodies on offense. And to your point, even when LeBron missed the last two shots, he was the one assisting on the big shots by Rui and then D'Lo. And Rui had an up and under, a reverse layup.
He got caught underneath, but he was able to get it.
He did.
He was able to get it up under.
Okay. So do you like Rui and D'Lo a little more than you usually do after last night? No.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. D'Lo is an up and down guy with us, right?
Yeah.
He can be streaky scoring. Rui doesn't get enough touches because when LeBron and AD is in the game, he's not going to get the same amount of touches that he would when they're not in the game. So when they're not on the floor, I like him more than I like him when they're on the floor.
Yeah.
He knocked down two big shots. There's no question about it.
You know,
he didn't panic in those situations.
He has routinely knocked down big shots for you.
He was making
big shots in the playoff game. Against Denver last year, he made a bunch of big shots.
But coming out of the third quarter, coming out of the third quarter, going into the fourth quarter, he did a pretty good job in the third. I think he picked up about 12 points in that third quarter for us. So that was key to get him going and feeling a certain way. Yep. And when he rolled into the fourth quarter, he knocked down the big three. And like you just mentioned, that when he got caught underneath the basket, he didn't panic. He just came underneath on the backside of it, put a spin on it, goes in. That's what you want to see on a consistent basis when AD is on the floor with him and LeBron, opposed to some of the other stuff that you see where they're afraid to shoot the basketball and they just give it up.
Yeah.
You don't want to see that.
Yeah. So I'm going to give you this about LeBron James. I thought he looked sensational last night, sensationally young.
Yeah.
He did. He looked like the youngest, what is he now, 39? He looked like the youngest year 21 NBA player I have ever seen times 10.
In the fourth quarter,
He looked spry. You know, he looked like he had a lot of juice left in his legs. He was getting up. He was getting up and down the floor. He would pick his spots on defense, but he was playing good defense last night in spurts. And his energy level, his body looks good. You know, it lifted everybody. I think they followed the king last night.
Whatever he found and mustered up with that fourth quarter, whatever that beginning of the fourth quarter, I mean, you talk about the last 4 minutes missing the two shots, but whatever that was for that, you know, 9 minute
stretch. It was 9 minutes.
He dug deep and found it.
He did.
And that's the leadership that people try to say, oh, he's not that type of leader. Well, they follow. He doesn't need to be a Michael Jordan leader. He doesn't need to lead by that. He leads by example, and everybody else all of a sudden raise their game up. You can win championships that way.
Absolutely.
But the problem with the Lakers is they'll do that last night, and then who knows what the hell they'll do tonight against Washington.
Well, and that's a very good question, because remember LeBron's famous or infamous quote of a couple of weeks back. He said, we're good enough to beat any team in this league, and we can also lose to any team in this league. And now in a back-to-back, ironically, you have a team tied for the worst record in the league, Washington tied with Detroit.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to lose, though.
You know,
I'd be shocked if they lose.
They're 9.5-point favorites.
Yeah, I'd be shocked
yet,
if they lose.
Would you be shocked if LeBron didn't play? Do you think he'll play? I think he'll play.
I wouldn't play him.
You wouldn't play him? Boy, he looked so good last night.
I wouldn't play him.
I think he might want to go.
Because he did not play the last game. Well, I don't know the count. What's his count on not playing and playing? What's that
on
number?
On back-to-backs?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd have to look it up. But he's played several. I think the last one, he did play their back-to-back. And played well. Yep. And played well.
I don't think he should play, though.
Yeah.
I don't.
Okay. Well, can they win without him?
They should be able to beat Washington without him.
You would think so.
Come on now. They beat Boston without him and AD.
Okay, well, his running mate, AD's going to have to rise and shine then tonight.
They shouldn't play. They should play AD, though.
Yeah. All right.
He needs to play. No mercy. No mercy. No mercy. When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place. Whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this, crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right, Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me. That's right. VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to 5 times faster, it's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew. Ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids, just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel.
This is what Anthony Davis said after the Lakers stormed back from 21 down in the fourth quarter to beat the Clippers. And I quote, I think this was a huge win for us, not only because it was the Clippers, but also for ourselves in general. I think this is a big reassurance win for us to hopefully get us playing how we were playing right before the break. So, of course, the question is, was last night a blip or a trend? So now, Keyshawn, what shot do you give your Lakers, you've loved them your whole life, to get on a roll and win the Western Conference?
I give them the same shot I've always given them. It's 50-50. Got to get into the postseason. Once we saw it last year. Once they got into the postseason, they played a different style of basketball. All of a sudden, they found themselves in the Western Conference Final. Do I think they could do that same thing? Yeah, because as LeBron said, they can beat anybody, but they also can lose to anybody.
Yep.
It's all about getting in the tournament. Can they? What are they sitting at 9 now again? They were at 10. Can they get up in a safe area to get into the playoffs? I don't care who they draw. If they draw Minnesota, so what? If they draw Denver, so what? If they draw OKC, so what? They have the capability of beating all of those teams. Can they do it, though? Can they beat a Laker team that we saw in Boston? Can they beat a Laker team we saw in New York? Can they beat a Laker team we saw beat OKC? Can they beat a Laker team that's 3-1 up on Clippers?
3-1.
Can they beat that team?
Yeah.
Or are they the Laker team that allowed Houston to run amok on them a couple times this year? And if that's the case,
they let San Antonio beat them in a back-to-back.
Or the San Antonio games. Is that the Laker team we're going to see? Because if those are the Lakers that we see, then they'll be at home watching with us. And that's the bottom line. And I don't know that LeBron James and Anthony Davis will allow that to happen. I think the sour taste left in their mouth from the postseason a year ago should ignite them to feel like and make them want to go out there and bring a trophy home.
Yeah.
Because, look, man, they got two of the top 10 players, two of the top in the NBA. Some would argue two of the top 8, 7, whatever you want to say.
Good.
They got two of the top dudes in the NBA. Mm-hmm. When you got two of the top, you're probably going to be pretty good because everybody else is pretty good. They got two. Literally everybody else is pretty good.
Totally agree.
So it's just understanding your rotation if you're Darwin Ham, who you get a minute to, who you design stuff for in certain situations.
Yep.
That's all it boils down to. But I do believe that they have the makeup to make a strong run in the West.
When Anthony Davis is right, he's top five. He's not always right, but he's been more right than wrong.
I really haven't said wrong probably since
early. Yeah. It's
November?
Yeah, I agree.
Right?
I agree. LeBron is still, as we saw last night, he's still a top 10 player. So if he's in the second five.
Whatever.
Okay, whatever. Only five can play at once. And to your point, if you have two of those,
you're pretty good. Just thinking in my brain, teams that have two of those are at the top.
Yeah.
Right?
So I tweeted at halftime last night that it's hard to fathom that a team with LeBron James and Anthony Davis was down 14 to a team without Paul George and without Zubats. It's wrong because they're better than that, but you've known this all year. They did win the in-season tournament. You can say, well, that's an indictment because they set the bar too high and they can't get back to the bar. But no, they're that good.
But the in-season tournament, because it's spread out, it's not seven straight games.
No.
It's, you know, you play a game here, 5 days later you play one that counts toward the in-season
tournament. Okay, did LeBron take it more seriously than the other teams? Maybe so. But they did it, and I saw them go up against a hot, deep, young shooting Indiana team in that final, and they just suffocated them. On defense, they suffocated Halliburton and company. They are highly capable. So I'm going to say what I said to open the show. I don't know the injury status of Jared Vanderbilt's foot, but he can play defense at the highest level. He can ball. I like his nature. I like what a fighter he is. He is a valuable piece of the rotation. He doesn't even have to start, but I think he would if he were completely healthy because he was starting for a while, and now he's got some foot injury, and they were talking about maybe surgery. I don't know what's going on. But if you could get him back, it takes you up another notch. If you could ever get Gabe Vincent healthy, and he had a scope on his knee quite a while back, and I keep waiting.
Yeah, the scope was like
it's not that big a deal.
Well, I don't know the extent of his scope, but I had a scope.
Yeah.
I was back running and everything in 2 weeks. Okay, so I don't know what exactly.
Had three of them, and I was back within 2 weeks every time.
Yeah, every time.
It's just not that, that big a deal. I don't know what happened. Maybe there's more to it. Gabe Vincent, as you saw in Miami, he's a big shot taker and maker. I'm not saying he's a great player, but he's a very good player who could be a good part
who
of the rotation.
Help?
He could help because he's been on the biggest stage in the sport a couple of times. And he's thrived on big stages.
Well, maybe he's
not
been,
afraid.
Maybe he's been held back until
I don't know.
A point where it makes sense.
All right. That's why I said before the year, I liked what Rob Pelinka put together. I know you lost Schroeder and a couple other, but you replaced him. I like this group. I don't have a hidden agenda. I'm not trying to set LeBron up for a fall here. I'm just telling you, I like this team.
No one said you was trying to set him up.
Okay.
But it's in your back pocket if you need it.
In my back pocket if I need it.
If you need it, it's in your back pocket.
I don't need it because I like the team. I like Rob Pelinka. I like what he put together. I like what he did at last year's trade deadline because they took Denver to the wire four straight times, and they lost all four of them because LeBron did not play well in those four fourth quarters.
Yeah, you have it in your back pocket. Okay.
No, but I'm just saying he's better than he was against Denver. He shot 7 of 23 in those four fourth quarters. Last night, we saw him make 5 threes in the fourth quarter against the Clippers.
Yeah, but I don't care what he did last night.
Okay.
Because last night, he's got to carry that into the postseason.
Okay.
If, in fact, we make the postseason and we do what we're supposed to, what he did against Denver, he can't do. But what he did last night, he's got to do against those Denver teams.
Remember, against Denver in those four fourth quarters, all winnable games, he shot 1 of 10 from 3.
He did not shoot the ball well.
You're better than that. He's better than that. He can be better than that. Austin Reeves made 7 of 8 threes in those four fourth quarters, but didn't get featured enough because it's LeBron's show.
Featuring him over LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
But you need to blend him more, and I think they will.
He
made a couple shots last night where I said, wow, that'll work.
And they probably will.
They will.
But you got to remember, he was essentially a rookie last year.
All right, so Denver visited L.A. back on February 8th. It wasn't that long ago because we're still at the end of February. They lost to Denver 114-106, and once again, LeBron was not very good in the fourth quarter. He shot 2 for 8 and missed both of his threes, and he missed one of those threes with 2:37 left that would have tied the game, and he missed another, like a 6-foot runner with 1:38 left. My point is, it feels like Denver thinks they got not that they own him, but they have it over him. You know, like they're not afraid. They put Aaron Gordon on him, and he's a big body, athletic.
Well, Mike Malone certainly.
And he's talked big about it.
Probably feels that way.
Well, he said we're their daddy, right?
He probably feels that
way. Okay, all right.
You got one championship.
Okay, but here's my point. Denver's playing at a very high level right now. They look really good. I watched them, was it 2 nights ago? They're rolling. They got it back. They got that championship swagger going again. Can your team beat them? You better believe your team can beat them. I believe it with all my heart and soul. Everybody has to rise and shine. AD's got to play big against Joker, and he can. He can match up with Joker, trust
me. Joker can't cover him, guard him on the offensive end.
Can't guard him.
And he's got to take advantage of it.
Totally agree. All right. Again, I don't know the injury status of these other two players, but if you get back that deeper rotation, then it's going to fall back on your coach. Sometimes he gets a little overwhelmed with the mix and match of it. You have to push the right buttons at the right time. But I like your chances.
Experience last year will carry over into this season in the postseason for Darwin Ham. That's what I believe.
Right.
I think, you know, first-time coach goes to the Western Conference Final. Yeah, he played. He's been in games as a player, but not as a head coach.
No.
Now you get that 1 year of experience to not repeat the same maybe mistakes that you did a year ago.
Maybe he's
with
got
your
a
rotation.
Good scar tissue.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, I agree. So the point is, I look around the West, and it's Denver and Phoenix. They can't keep their three healthy. Now Bradley Beal's been out for a while. Are they better than the Lakers? I don't think so. I just don't think so. Golden State is starting to take shape. Now, CP3's back.
I'm not worried about them.
Okay,
we took care of them last year.
You took them out.
And it
wasn't really
they
that
don't
close.
They don't have a two. They really don't. They don't have two.
All right.
They got one.
Okay.
They don't have two guys.
All right.
They got a couple pieces. I mean, Clay's not the same Clay.
Yeah.
I mean, Dre's Dre, but it's not, you know, I'm talking about the top 10.
All right. And sitting at the top of your conference right now are two out-of-nowhere teams, Minnesota and Oklahoma City. Are you afraid of them?
They're it's the youth.
The other one's older with Gobert and Cat.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm talking about the Gobert and Cat is there, but you're not, first of all, you're not afraid of Gobert, okay? You're just not. Cat can knock down some shots and do some stuff.
Yeah.
And Ant-Man is, when I say youth, I'm looking at him as their guy.
But he's starting to arrive he's starting to get some vet to him.
Yeah, but when you're young and you step into that postseason arena.
I agree.
That's a different deal than the regular season.
Yeah.
It just is in all sports.
Okay. Oklahoma City. I'm from there. I'm starting to fall in love with that team because they're fun to watch.
I've beat them before.
And you've beaten them. You've gone to their place and beaten them on one Saturday night. I sat and watched it. I said, that is good. But do you think LeBron James and Anthony Davis are afraid of Chet Holmgren, even though I think he's making a bid for Rookie of the Year? No. They're not afraid.
Yeah. Well, I think Wimby's the guy.
Okay. Well, we'll get into that as it starts to unfold. But the point is Shai Gilgeous right in the MVP conversation? Sure, yeah, he is.
He's right there.
He is really good. I mean, his step back, you know, even mid-range jump shooting, it's hard to deal with. Do you think right now LeBron, if we put him on a lie detector, is he afraid of Oklahoma State? He is not afraid. Okay?
No.
Okay? So you have two of the top 10 players. If you could get a little healthier, you did get Cam Reddish back last night, and he ended the game with a dunk for what it's worth. But the point is, I like your team. There are nights when they just don't show up. I don't know. Is it coaching? Is it motivation?
We'll see tonight when they play Washington.
Yeah, I agree.
We'll see tonight what shows up, and it'll give us an indication of what type of team we have.
Because AD is saying, we just took off. You know, that's what he's saying.
We'll see tonight.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Without LeBron in the lineup. I don't know if he'll play or not, but
I don't either.
We'll see.
Okay, we will see.
For you to be able to say something negative about him tomorrow. We'll see.
We'll see about that. You better play LeBron or I'm going to be all over you tomorrow. You after what you did last night, back it up. Here we go. Okay, Mecole Hardman is at it again in the middle of yet another controversy. We debate it next. No mercy, no mercy,
no mercy. Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Connor Hughes of SNY TV reported the Jets believe Mecole Hardman, frustrated by his lack of usage, leaked game plans to the Eagles and Chiefs, as was implied by several players, including Sauce Gardner. Keyshawn, you've probably heard of this before somewhere along your path. Well, what's your reaction to it?
Heard of what? Somebody leaking information?
Game plans? No?
You get that all the time with people saying somebody leaked a game plan or, you know, you're telling information to your buddy you went to college with.
Yeah.
Who's your roommate who plays for the team. You hear it all the time. But this one is pretty interesting because one game they won, one game they almost won.
They did.
And Zach Wilson against the Kansas City Chiefs had the best game of his entire career, right? I mean, it's a little weird that Mecole Hardman is being pulled into this. But then, as always, if there's a little bit of smoke, there's a fire somewhere. Just a little bit. Because
I'll
there's too
that.
Many people saying that he is disgruntled, he's mad, and he's giving the game plans to the Philadelphia Eagles, which I don't know why he would give it to Philadelphia. The Jets wind up beating Philadelphia. So that doesn't sound right because the Jets beat them. And then when you think about Kansas City, you know, that's 3 points. They beat them by 3 points. It wasn't like Kansas City steamrolled them.
No.
And Zach Wilson had his best game of his entire career. I mean, Zach was 28 to 39 for 245, 2 TDs, and 0 picks. Now, maybe there is some truth to him being disgruntled and mad and
no doubt.
The start of the season because he got guaranteed money to come and be a part of the team, and then he got beat out by a rookie free agent.
He did.
So maybe there's some truth to that.
Yep.
I don't know that he's giving them game plans. So people understand, man. You get you probably got 50 given plays in a game plan. Out of the 50 plays, there may be 10 new plays that's designed differently than you had in training camp. The other 40 is the same plays.
Agreed.
They got the film for that. When you line up in a certain formation, they know you're running a toss sweep. They know you're running power O. They know this guy, if he's lined up on the outside edge of the numbers on third down, they're probably running a slant. Like, they know this stuff. So it's not like a game plan is going to change the outcome of a football game. That's just paranoia by coaches. Oh, they're going to see our game plan. They got it on film, man. What are you talking about? You know, there's only a few wrinkles in there that they may get and see if you decide to run them.
Yeah.
Now, if he did, in fact, do this, I don't want him in the locker room. I'm just serious. I can't trust you.
Yeah.
I can't trust you. If I'm the Kansas City Chiefs and I'm Big Red and this is the fact, I can't try. How can I try? You're going to give him, as soon as I don't give you the ball, you're going to go give our game plan away. If he, in fact, is doing it. But you got the punter saying it. You got Sauce Gardner not saying names. Sauce Gardner went on his social media account. You know, he deleted the tweet, but he said, we ain't going to talk about how our offensive game plan got leaked versus the Eagles, though. Interesting. It's interesting.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. I don't know how to break it all the way down. Maybe you do, Skip. I could just say that I don't know how significant a game plan being in the lap of somebody is going to help them beat you.
I am with you on that, but we have two issues operating. We have, number one, how significant is having a game plan? Not very. Because you don't know exactly what play is going to be called when, and I'm going to hark back one more time to my dynastic 90s Cowboys. Trust me, simplest offense in the league by far. It boiled down to hand it to Emmitt left or right or toss it to Emmitt left or right.
And throw it to Michael.
They didn't even call numbers because Emmitt wouldn't hit the right holes. They were just left or right, left or right. Or Michael's going to run down and in or down and out. You call it bang eight. You know, it's just pretty simple. There's nothing complicated.
It's really simple. It's not complicated.
And it is very hard to stop. Okay, so now we have issue number two. Did he, in fact, leak? Because if he did, to your point,
if he leaked, I don't want him in my locker room.
You don't want him in your locker room. So he's been going back and forth. First, he takes a shot at the Jets' offense. He says that's not up to any standard. And then now he's saying, send signals, you guys want me back? I'll come back. Well, I don't know if they now want him back. They're sending signals back. We don't want you back. All right. So now let me go bigger picture with you. We talked about Clark Hunt, who comes across as this fine, nice, upstanding man when he speaks publicly about his Kansas City Chiefs and Big Red, as you call Andy Reid, one of the nicest guys in the history of sports. And yet, together with Brett Veach as their GM, they will take lots of chances on players with questionable character, right?
Absolutely.
Look what they did with Travis Kelce. You don't think he had huge question marks on his character coming out of Cincinnati?
Yeah, but if this goes back to my conversation I had with you yesterday about the combine evaluations.
Yes.
If I can look at you and I can talk to you and I can understand where you're coming from, I'm not taking a chance because I know who you are.
Or if you get to talk to somebody you really trust who says you should trust him.
Or you talk to somebody, but you got to still talk to the player
as well. You do, okay. But remember, Tyreek came out of college and they took a risk on him because he had a domestic violence issue.
Yeah, but you get the information. You don't get the information that's put out in the public.
Right.
I'm going to get the information from the people that's involved.
Right. And Kadarius Toney had a huge punt return for them in the Super Bowl a year ago. And he came over from the Giants because they said, well, we're not sure.
I'm getting the information because there's always two sides to a story.
Yep.
Okay. That's just the way it is. When you, as I said to you yesterday, Skip, when you are evaluating talent, whether it's free agency, whether it's via trade, whether it's through the draft, I need to talk to you. I need to see where your mind is at. What are you thinking? Everybody makes a mistake or two in their lives somewhere along the way. But I would know if I'm talking to you and the right people around you, if you're prone to make those same mistakes on a repeated offense all the time. If you are, then it might not be a situation that I want to put myself and my team in.
Okay. So has now Mecole Hardman's his character been questioned? Sure it has. But the Chiefs were willing to take him. They already had him once, but they took him back because they knew they could deal with him. Whatever you have to deal with, Patrick Mahomes is saying, I can deal with him because he can play.
But what's the... Okay. He's going back to Kansas City, or he went back to Kansas City.
Yes.
Kansas City had him before, like you said.
They
so they already know what he was. They didn't
want
to pay him the money.
No.
They decided to acquire him once the money kind of went down on the guarantee side.
That is true.
Because the New York Jets absorbed some of that cost. So now we can get him back at a cheaper rate. He can help us the second half of the season because we know him. Yep. So what is his character issues for us in Kansas City? Now, if he goes from Kansas City to the Rams may look at it and say, well, what they're saying about him, we need to dive deeper into that. Agreed. Because there may be a character flaw for the Rams, but it's not a character flaw for Kansas City because they already know him.
They already know. And what happened on the last play of the Super Bowl? Right? He caught the touchdown pass. The little walk in off. And out, right?
So they're okay with that.
Yeah.
He did fine by them. But you always, again, man, you always got two sides to a story, dog.
Yeah.
You know, is people always going to question, because what happens in our world that we work in, people that write these stories and people that say things about people and question their character, they're not interviewing the individuals. They're listening to some coach somewhere that has nothing to do with a player who thinks he knows them, and then they're getting that information and they're using it and writing it. They're not sitting down with a player or a player's real coach or a player's best friend. They're not doing a deep dive investigative reporting. Yes, Travis Kelce was an edgy dude.
He was edgy.
But all
and remember,
you got,
he got suspended for an entire year at Cincinnati.
But that's okay. And the reason it's okay is because all you got to do is go to Cincinnati and talk to whoever was there, okay? Go to his high school, talk to who was there, sit down, talk to the parents, talk to him most importantly. He got a brother you can talk to, and you find out, why did he get suspended? Oh, well, he smokes a little weed.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that ain't a big deal in the world no more. It ain't as big as it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. It wasn't like he was running out there getting into bar fights night in and night out and night in and night out and night in and night out.
Yep.
That's where teams get into trouble, is when they don't do the deep dive homework.
Although, my team, the Dallas Cowboys, under Tom Landry and also under Jimmy Johnson and Jerry Jones, had as many questionable characters on their roster as anybody in the league, and it resulted in Super Bowls.
You cannot have a bunch of choir boys.
You cannot
in professional sports and think you're getting ready to win a whole bunch of championships.
No,
it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. You have to have some edge to your team. I don't want somebody out there, you know, creating an issue. I don't want what went on in New England. I don't want that. But you got to have some of those players that got some, you know, you got to have a few Charles Haleys, man.
Got to have Charles
you
Haley.
You got to have a few
For that
dudes.
Matter, you got to have a few Keyshawns.
You better. Mm-hmm. You better. Speaking of that, people say, well, you took a receiver at number one. Yeah, but it wasn't just because I could catch balls and I could run. There was also a package that fit in what that organization was looking for. Okay, they was looking for somebody to come in that had a little edge to them, that had a certain snack, crop, pop that would turn things upside down. That's what they was looking for. They wasn't looking for a nice guy. They had a nice guy in Rob Moore. They moved on from Rob Moore and moved him to Arizona. They had that.
Very good
point. But they wanted somebody that had some stuff. And Rob Moore was a good receiver for the New York Jets.
He was
a damn good receiver, but they wanted something different.
Okay.
And when you are evaluating players and you are making a decision, you have to factor in everything. And I don't know if I've ever told you this story before, but when they were making the decision on me or the late Lawrence Phillips, there was two guys that they was high on because they had just signed Jumbo Elliott at the left tackle position, so they didn't need Jonathan Ogden. So they said to themselves, we got defensive pass rushers, so we don't need Simeon Rice, Kevin Hardy. We need an offensive playmaker. It was either Keyshawn or Lawrence Phillips, one of the two. They looked at Lawrence Phillips. They looked at me. Both got red flags. One person's red flags a little higher than the other.
A little higher.
And they said, that ain't the... Because those red flags over here, a little more dangerous than these red flags. We can handle these red flags, so let's go with a safer bet of a red flag versus the one that eventually isn't what we want.
And as you said yesterday to me, that even beyond your tape, that your sit-down, look-them-in-the-eye interview
Absolutely.
Pushed it over the top.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But they were okay with that.
Yeah.
And when you are evaluating players, you got to be convinced and conviction that they're not going to screw it up. And that's what you look at when you look at a Mecole Hardman in his situation or Tyreek Hill in his situation? Is he going to be a repeat offender while he's on our team? Can we handle him? Can we talk to him? Okay. Can we deal with him? And clearly, Andy Reid felt he could with a Tyreek Hill, felt that he can with a Mecole Hardman on the second try who wins the Super Bowl for him.
All right. And let me button this up by referring to our teammate, Michael Irvin, the playmaker you know very well. Did he have his issues off the field? You better believe he did. Was he the leader and the rocket fuel of the dynastic Dallas Cowboys? You better believe he was. He was the one who drove that team.
If he wasn't on that team, Cowboys may not win the Super Bowls.
Totally agree. Obviously, it starts with Troy Aikman in the quarterback position, but without that guy, I don't think they win.
I don't either, but that's me.
Yeah, all right.
And I'm biased, so.
Well, both of us are. No mercy, no mercy.